in the retreat given to lay women in July 1980. Father Hardin addresses his following conference on the subject, principle, and foundation. Father Hardin.
For the opening conference of the retreat, St. Ignatius, who in these matters is my teacher and guide, says we should begin with a principle and foundation. What I would like to do is to read you from St. Ignatius what is his doctrine, and then we will go into our commentary and always personal application. The following statements are called the principle and foundation because that's what they are meant to be. The principle from which and the foundation on which our lives on earth should be based. There are two premises and two conclusions. Let me first read the premises and then the conclusions. First premise, man was created to praise, reverence, and serve God our Lord, and by this means to save his soul. Second premise, the rest of creation was made to aid man in attaining the end for which he was created. Now the conclusions. They're a bit long, but extremely practical. First conclusion. Therefore, we are to use creatures insofar as they help us reach our destiny, and we are to be rid of them insofar as they hinder the purpose of our existence. Second conclusion. And so we are to make ourselves indifferent to all things as far as our freedom will allow, and we are not forbidden to do so. Consequently, as far as in us lies, we should not prefer a long life to a short one, or health to sickness, or honor to dishonor, or riches to poverty. And so of all other things, but we should make ourselves seek and desire things only insofar as they lead us more surely to the end for which we were made. These four statements are the bedrock of our happiness in eternity, and I should add, of our happiness here. No one else will be happy in eternity. No one is happy now, except insofar as they believe and live up to these two premises and follow out the two conclusions. we might begin by noting that the premises we have laid down are not only or mainly based on reason, they are also part of our faith. I believe the whole human race can be divided into two classes. Those who believe what I've just said, and those who either doubt or deny. What are we told in the premises? We are told, first of all, that we are not our own makers. Nine months before any of us was born, we did not exist. And what did not exist need not exist. I always like to see empty chairs or pews in a chapel or church when I speak on this subject. Because except for the goodness of God, we would all be the empty pews here in chapel. The possible person next to where you're sitting, and most of you have open space next to you, could just as well have been you. St. Augustine says, the most fundamental truth that a human being can believe is to believe that he did not make himself. God, in his wisdom, knowing how prone we are to self-conceit and self-sufficiency, not only allows us to wait a long time before we are born, but after birth, several years before we reach the age of reason. All the while wanting to make sure we have no illusions about our self-sufficiency. We then came from God. But not only did we come from God, we have been made for God. Consequently, both the cause of our existence and the purpose of our existence is God. God could not have made us except somehow for himself. Now the problem with that statement, for himself, is that we tend to give it a very understandably human interpretation. As though when God made us, he made us to somehow benefit, that he will somehow profit from bringing us out of the nothingness we were into the something we are. But no, this is God. We did not exist. He wanted us to come into being. He plans for us an eternal existence. All of us began. None of us will end. We shall always be. To make sure, however, we do not misunderstand God's purpose in creating us and sustaining us in existence, let's remind ourselves that this God who made us, as we casually say, for Himself, could not have made us for any benefit to Himself. Nothing we can do can ever make God more godlike. Nothing we can do can ever make God more happy or more perfect. When then we say that God made us for Himself, we mean He made us that we might possess and enjoy this Himself. He made us, therefore, that we might benefit, not that He might profit from whatever we do. What is this Himself for which God made us? Another word, also beginning with an H, is the one from childhood we've learned. We were made for heaven. Meaning, we were made for God. Meaning what? We were made to know God, love God, and enjoy God for all eternity. And those three imperatives, to know, to love, and enjoy, are so closely related that you can't have the second without the first, and you cannot have the third without the first two. So why did God make us? He made us first that we might know Him. Know as much as we possibly can about Him, in order that knowing Him, we might love Him. Because while, of course, as by now we all sadly know, we don't necessarily love everyone we know. But unless we know, we cannot love anyone, including God. If we know Him and act on the love that this knowledge inspires, then we shall be happy. And how I like to say this. Heaven is the enjoyment of loving God. And we don't have to wait for heaven to enjoy God. In fact, I dare say, unless we've had some prior experience of what it means to enjoy God here, psychologically, we wouldn't even look forward to enjoying Him, as we say, hereafter. We'll come to this subject more than once during the retreat. The spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius are built on almost military logic. Ignatius, as you know, was a military man before he was converted. But these first few conferences at the beginning of the retreat lay the solid ground on which everything else rests. God wants us to know Him, love Him, and enjoy Him already here. And I don't hesitate saying, having celebrated my 33rd anniversary as a priest, last month, the 18th, and I was ordained on my birthday, by now have dealt unworthily with some thousands of souls, some of whom I've come to know very intimately. I have yet to meet a happy person who does not love God. And I would measure a person's happiness in the exact measure to which they serve God in the measure of their love. Those who love Him and loving Him, serve Him most perfectly, are the most happy. Those who love Him less and serve Him less perfectly are less happy. Those who don't love Him and don't serve Him, that is my tried and proved definition of unhappiness. You might say the retreat, with some inconveniences. I can't imagine how well you slept last night. I hope well. Strange surroundings, somewhat austere. I am convinced you make an honest retreat and you will be happier than you have ever been before. If then, that's why God made us, to praise, reverence, and serve Him, which is another way of saying know and love Him, we shall reach heaven not only in heaven in the life to come, but experience a foretaste of heaven even now. But that's only the first truth. What's the second? The rest of creation was made to aid man in attaining the end for which he was created. If the reason God made us was to enjoy him, the reason he made the rest of creation is to help us reach that heavenly destiny for which we were made. What are we saying? Are we saying that everything in life, the sun, moon, and stars, the heat or the cold, the food or drink, the people we meet, the experiences we have, that every single creature that in any one touches our lives is part of God's providence? Yes. That nothing just happens in our lives? That's right. That everything in our lives has a purpose? Yes. That there is no such thing as a chance caller at 1:30 in the morning, and there is no such thing as an accident. Do we mean that everything in our lives, everything, is meant by God to help us reach heaven? Yes. There is no such thing as a stray thought. I'm not quite sure what I'm going to say in the next 5 minutes, but God knows, and he wants me to say it. But you might object, you're silly. No, I'm not. The very least reason that God might have is to give you a chance to practice patience in listening what I'm boring you with. God has a purpose in trying us. God has a reason in boring us. Did you know that? Nothing in our lives ever just happens. Everything is planned and prepared by God. That is the faith of the Catholic Church to which we belong. God intends everything and everyone to help us reach the purpose of our existence. But, as we know, not everything or everyone in our lives is pleasant. Agreed? God sends us pleasant creatures and painful creatures. The secret, and this is what the retreat is all about, to give yourselves 3+ days in just coming to grips with these very simple, but profoundly important truths, in order that believing them deeply, we might live them more faithfully.
Please turn over to side B and push the play button immediately without rewinding the tape.